for this opportunity to stand before his people. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for our Sunday school director, our assistant pastor, Pastor Sonia Gross. I thank God for her leadership and how she advises and hears from God to be able to touch his servants in a way that only God could have told her that was going on within me. Dear God, I thank you for this word, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord God, for what you've yet to do, Lord God. I see your plan, Lord God. Help me to walk in your plan, Lord God. Help me to walk before you, Lord God. Decrease everything in me, Lord God, and increase everything in you. Hide me behind the cross, Lord God, because I am nothing without you, Lord God. I'm like a ship without a sail, Lord God. I cannot move without you. I can't breathe without you. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. I love you. I praise you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. For you are my redeemer. You are my soul. You are my everything. In your son's precious name, Jesus. Amen. 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 I want to talk to you this morning about a love and a thirst after God. A love and a thirst after God. To really love and thirst after God, it's going to call for a complete surrender of your entire self. You can't half-heartedly do this walk with him. There is no fence. There is no straddling. You either in or you're out. The Bible says in Revelation, you're either hot or you're cold for him. So you got to know, if I'm going to surrender, then I'm going to surrender my whole being. Because why? I cannot receive the things that he wants me to receive if I am not emptied out of myself. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, then Jesus said, Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. That means he's taken all our heavy load. He's taken the heavy load up off of us to where we're able to walk lighter in this world. Because if we walked with all the heaviness on us, we would not make it to our appointed destination. We would fall off beside the road and we would stand there and be like, "What? How did I get here? I was here this day. I was over there." No, I took my eyes off of the prize. So that's how you had to carry the heavy burden. But he said, give them to me. Give them to me. Give me everything you're going through. I got you. All you got to do is trust me. And when you give it to me, don't go back and pick it up. Leave it in my capable hands, because I'm able to do just that, capable of delivering you out of any and everything that you need me to do. I believe God is telling us to desire him, to seek him, and obey his commandments. A demonstration this is through our actions and a life of faith and devotion. God's love for us was shown towards us in 1 John 4:19, when he said, we love because he first loved us. He first loved us. My wretched self, he first loved me. Can you just think about that statement? We are supposed to love because he first loved us. I remember when I was first starting out doing hair, a great friend, and she ended up being my mentor, said to me, Miriam, well, I was sitting at her shop, I'll never forget. She said, Miriam, who's your first love? You know, I'll pop off and say, the guy I'm dating right now. You know, I said, his name is Steve. I know, right, Steve? And and she said, no, ma'am, that's not your first love. I said, but yes, it is, because that's the man I'm with, and I'm loving him. And she went on to explain to me, no, you cannot get caught up in that first thing. You can't get caught up in it because it will catch you up. Because, and then she said again, she tried to explain to me, because I kind of called a chip, like, who are you telling me who my first love is? Who are you telling me? But God was speaking through her to speak to me at a young, I was in my early 20s, not just dumb and young, you know what I'm saying? Out there chasing, trying to be what I wasn't. Yeah, Tired to be what I wasn't. This woman was tried through the help of the Lord to tell me, your first love is God. That's who you hold all your things to. That's who you give your whole heart to. That's who you give your first everything to, is the one who loved you before you was even created. He loved you. Revelations 2 and 4 through 5, it says, but I have this complaint against you. This is Revelation. This is the end of the Bible. This is the end. It says, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do your first works again. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstick from its amongst the churches. And I said, lampstick. And I was like, lampstick. I had always wondered, what was he talking about? The lampstick is the candlestick. It symbolizes the loss of God's presence and recognition of that church. And it symbols of the church role as a light shining God's truth in the world. He said, if you don't, or you've turned yourself so far from me, he has no thing but just to say, I've turned in my presence from you. So I'm facing our assistant pastor, and I'm looking at her, and I'm facing her. But yet still, I drift off. I drift off into a love that I think that I want. I think that's going to do me better than what God can do, because while I see this person, I don't see God. Although he's there all the time, never have left me, always been there, always picking me up, always heading me up to the right way. But yet still, the enemy wants your eyes to be covered. He doesn't want you to see the light on the candlestick. He don't want you to see the flickering of light. Because if you hold on to the flickering of the light of the candlestick, you will stay in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter who's coming against you. It doesn't matter what somebody's saying to you. It doesn't matter where you're going, whatever happened in your life. As long as you keep on looking to the candlestick and keeping your faith, and you keep it flickering. You ever light candles on your table and they just flicker? They just flicker. You know, they're beautiful. It's a beautiful light. That's the presence of God. When you get into him, the fire of him is so present in your life that he just presents himself as a present. But he said, I will take my presence from you. I'm here to tell you, that's the worst thing you could ever do, is have God take his presence from you. You get so far away from him to where you're like a deer in the headlights. You don't know whether you're coming or going, because you don't have the presence of God no more. You can't see it. You don't know it. You don't even know what it's going to do. If it comes up to you, you don't know what to do. You're like this, eyes bugged out, like, what do I do? What do I do? First and foremost, get back to your first love. Get back to the maker. Get back to the creator who created you from the foundation of the earth. Get back to him. Because once you get back to him, you get back to the fire. You get back to the presence. You get back to his love. You get back to his direction. You get back to him. Him. Not what you want, but it's what God's want. What God wants. This is a way. This is why God has always tried to tell us, keep God first place in your life. Keep him first in your heart, your mind, and your soul. Proverbs 4:23-24 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. He's saying, guard your heart, which means your mind. Heart and mind are translated into one thing. That's first and foremost. You know, a lot of people don't. People say, "Oh, guard your heart." No, baby, guard that mind, because if you don't guard that mind, that's where he's going to start at. And when he starts in the mind, it just trickles on down into the rest of the body. You know what I'm saying? From the head down, that's where it starts. So he's saying, above all else, protect your mind, protect your heart, protect where I am trying to keep you from, and stay away from people who don't mean you a bit of good. You know, stay away from the speech and the corruptedness of people who are out there that don't want to see you make it. They don't want to see you live. They don't want to see you shine. They don't want to see that presence of God upon your life. When you walk into the room, it's not so much you, what you're dressed as, how you look, what you wear. It is the presence of God that is resonated upon your life. It is His presence that you walk in. It is His presence that you step in. It is His presence that you're able to do anything in your life. But you got to know, hey, I can't stay over here on this side. I can't go over here and talk to these people. I can't be over here. I have to stay in the will and the way of Him in order to get where I'm supposed to be in God. You know, my mentor helped me understand that everything that glitter was gold. You know, and I praise God for that mentor I had, because my mom had, you know, already got all the glory. So I was kind of like a deer in the headlights. I didn't have anybody. Yeah, I was. That's right, Pastor. I was a sheep without a pastor, because it had always been me and my mom. And then when God took her home, I was lost. I was lost. I admit it. I was lost. I was lost because I'm thinking that was the only one. That's what I held everything on to. But then when the enemy presents you with something, and he knows what you lacking. He knows what you need. He knows what you like. He knows how to wrap it up and tie a big old bow on it and present it to you. But it's up to you to accept that gift. Because if you accept that gift and you know it's not of God, there's something that should resonate inside of you. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's just saying, that don't feel too good. Oh, I don't know. Something's kind of trembling up inside of me. No, this is not God. This is not. Take that first thought and run. I have a saying to a lot of the women in the church where they're going through stuff. Run, Forrest, run. The one thing Forrest Gump didn't do, he never looked back. He kept on running. He kept running until he got to where he was supposed to be. You know, when you think of that, God said He would never leave us nor forsake us. But the enemy will bring somebody who's going to lie, who's going to cheat, who's going to treat you all manner of evil that God never even called you to be. But yet still, you take it and you take it and take it because you're thirsty. You're looking for a drink. You're looking for that lead. You're looking for that leadership. You're looking for that person who's going to take you by the hand and lead you. But not knowing that taking the person by the hand like that, it's going to end up in failure. It's going to end up away from God. It's going to end up messed up in your life, just messed up, you know. You see, at this time of my life, I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice whether I was going to live for God or whether I was not going to live for God. I had to make a choice. Where was I going to accept God's will? Was I going to accept a drink from Him? Was I going to accept His love? And the thing about it is, when you choose to do God's will, when you choose to do what He has called you to do, you don't want to do it like it's on an emotion. You know, it's not an emotion, because emotions can get all messed up. It can get all jumbled up. But you need to go into God with a sincere mindset. Lord God, I want You. I don't want anything else. I want You. I want to make sure that my life leads up to a life in You. In Deuteronomy 30 and 19 and 20, it says, one of my favorite scriptures, it says, today I give you choices between life and death, between blessings and cursings. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness this choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land of the Lord He swore to give us to our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't you realize we are still the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? We are still in that class of people. So therefore, there's still blessings and favor and just the abundance of God still waiting on us. But yet still, we got to get to a point where we say, I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose God over anything else. Because God, he told us, he's, you know, like, because we were sheep. What's a sheep do? A sheep is this. I'm a farm girl. A sheep keeps its nose to the ground. They don't look up. They call them a dumb animal. That's why they have to be guided everywhere where they go. So therefore, he told us, he said, choose life. That way you'll live. And not only you will live, your grandbabies will live. Your daughters will live. Your sons, your aunts, your uncles, your whole lineage will live because you chose God. You chose the best thing. You chose to live and not die and bring everything that's with you up out of hell and the grave. You chose me. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to choose him. He wants us to drink from the water that you don't ever have to be thirsty again. He says, thirst after righteousness, thirst after me, thirst to the one that can give you and fulfill you of everything that you think that you're emptied out of. Emptied out of. Emptied out of. In Psalms 42 and 1, it says, as a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. I was trying to understand what the psalmist was saying and meaning in his deep almost depressive longing for God. It says, comparing it to a thirsty deer yearning for water. Can you just imagine a deer in need of a drink of water? He's panting for a water, for something to keep him alive. This is so powerful. Just thinking about the deer panting over the earthly water, we, the children of God, are supposed to be like the deer, thirsty for the water to give to us to survive. We are expected to just pant over God's water. For when we seek after God's water, we will never thirst again in the way, because we will have the living water of God flowing through our bodies. In John 4:14, he says, but those who drink the water, I will never thirst again. It becomes a flesh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. When you speak of the living water, it is a powerful symbol of the spiritual nourishment and renewal. God, I need you. God, I can't make it without you. God, I'm desperate for you. God, I tried this thing on my own, and it didn't get me nowhere. God, I went to this person. I went to that person. God said, thirst after me. Search after me. Seek after me. Come to me, because I am right here waiting to give you that drink. I'm waiting to fill your cup up to where it just overflows. And when it overflows, it'll overflow with his blessings, with his favor, with his love, with his wisdom, with his guidance, with his everything that you're lacking. It will be filled up and poured back into you to where you won't lack no more. We are at a point a lot of times that we're out here and we think we're lacking for this, and we feel like we're lacking for that. No, the only thing you're lacking is just a touch from the master. You just need a touch from saying, hey, I got you. You just need a drop from the well of life to be able to go through this. He said, if he could just get a quench, you just quench your thirst. Just let him quench your thirst, because once he quenches your thirst, you will not look over here. You will not look over there. You will keep your eyes focused upon him. Upon him. Upon him. You know, today, if there's like anybody who's needing a touch from God, who is desperate and in need of a savior, choose God. Choose him. Christ is standing here waiting for us. He's not only waiting for us, he is saying, I'm here waiting on open arms. I'm ready to give you the water. I am ready to give you everything that you need. I am ready to fill your cup to where it's overflowing. I am ready to honor you with my salvation. I'm ready to honor you with everything. Just come to me. Be like that deer. He pants, meaning he's thirsty. He's looking over here. He's looking over there. But I don't know if y'all have ever seen a deer jump out in front of you on a highway. I've had that done before. And it just leaps. It leaps. and it leaps. It doesn't look. It just jumps. It just jumps. Well, we the people of God, he gave us a roadmap. He gave us a roadmap. It's called the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. He gave us the roadmap. And if we take that roadmap, we won't thirst no more. We won't hurt no more. We'll be in that rested place to where we don't have to just jump around from one place to another trying to find something that you're never going to find. It's never going to be right for you. It's never going to work out for your favor. It's never going to be God's eye on it. It's only going to be because you want it. That's what you tried to do. That's the best thing you could come up with. I think I would have waited on God. I think I would have waited in his presence. I think I would have waited for his word. I think I would have waited on him to say, here it is. Now just walk in me. Let me take my hand. Take my hand. Because when you take my hand, step by step, you're going to make it to where you're supposed to be in him. And not only just step by step in him, that's in life. Because don't you understand, when you come over to God's side, there's so many people that are looking. You got so many onsetters. They're looking to see, is she going to make it this time? Are they going to? I've seen them do this before. I've seen them step all the way in. And just this little bit thing just knocks them straight up out of the will of God. Now, we got to be this person. Nowadays, I mean, I'm looking at the news. I'm watching things that are happening out here in our world. We have to be so focused now that we know, God, if you were to open up that eastern sky, you better know that you know that you know that you know that you get ready to get up out of here with him. And that comes with a relationship with him. That's coming with being in his presence. That's coming with being engulfed in him, wrapped in him, and knowing, hey, God, I know you got me. In your presence is the fullness of him. So when you are going through each and everything that you're going through, whether it's good, whether it's bad, give it to God. Stand in him and let him fill you up. Let him give you that nourishment that you need. Let him be that safety. Let him be the cover. Let him be the almighty that he's always said that he wanted to be. Let your lampstick always be bright. Let the fire just burn ever so fiery in your life for God. Because once that fire starts from him, you don't want to kindle it out. You don't want to let it go. You don't want to have to just blow on it and it's gone. And then you think, oh, I can't. It's cold. Cold out here sometimes. It's cold out here. You know why it's cold? Because you're out of the presence and out of the will of him. That's why it's cold. That's why hell hits you on every side. That's why, wait a minute. It didn't happen like that before. But it's happened like this. Go check where you was before. Go back. Like he said in Revelation, sometimes you got to go back and do your first works over. There's nothing wrong with that. All that's doing is just getting you in right alignment with God, because that's what you got to be, a right alignment with him, precept on precept, line after line, dot after dot, and cross every T. You got to make sure that you're where you are supposed to be in him, and make sure that the fire is ever burning so bright in your life. And it's not just burning bright in your life. It is burning to the point where if I go over here and touch Pastor Rose and his wife, that they'll start on fire. And then that fire will burn over here. It'll burn up there. It'll burn up there. It'll just start an ignition. It'll start like a blaze of fire. It'll start just an inferno. And that's what God wants. God wants an inferno of his presence to be in our lives. Because if we have that inferno, if we have that presence of him in our lives, we can walk through the fires. We can walk through the stuff that we go through on a daily basis. Is it going to hurt? Are we going to get burned? Are we going to get stung? Are we going to have a Band-Aid sometime? Yes. You're going to get burned sometimes. Yes, you're going to get cut sometimes. Yes, you're going to bleed sometimes. But it's okay, because why? I have a Savior that went through so much more hell and fire than I ever will and ever have to go through. So therefore, it's okay if I bleed sometimes. It's okay if I cut sometimes. It's okay if I cry sometimes. It's okay if I lay prostrate out before him sometimes. It's okay, because why? I want to be in the presence of him. I want to be in him. Because I know in him I'm whole. In him I'm free. I see the day I saw it. I'm free in him. I'm free in him. No matter where you're going, you want to know that you're free in him. You're free to get a thirst from the well. The woman, she came to the well and sat next to him. She asked, she's like, ain't you Jew? You're not supposed to be here. We don't like your kind. We don't like your kind. And Jesus was like, well, I just need a thirst. I just need a drink. You know, I just need a drink. And Jesus was like, the lady started talking to Jesus about everything that she's going through, all that she's doing. And then Jesus just busts her bubble. I love God. He's so funny. He says, if the man you're with now ain't your husband either. He tells it just like it is. And the person you with, he ain't yours either. And the woman was so startled by all the. And Jesus was like, but if you come to me, give me a drink of water, you'll never thirst again. And the woman was like, show me. Tell me, what do I need to do to get to that thirst? What do I need to get to that presence? What do I need to do to say, Lord, come get me. Let me. I don't want to go this way no more. I don't want to feel this way no more. I don't want to be burdened down like this no more. I don't want to feel like I'm not going to make it anymore. I don't want to feel this way, God, anymore. I just want your presence. So from that day on, that woman got saved, and she turned her life around, and she didn't go back to the water thing and to the well anymore. She didn't go back to the well like she was going all the time. And the thing about the reason why the reason why I think she was going back to the well so many times, trying to get another man, trying to get that next hit, trying to get that next thing, trying to get that next feel, trying to get that next thing to where, oh, yeah, because when Jesus busted her bubble and said, and the man you with now ain't your man, and the lady was like, oh, okay, you know something. You know something. He knows something. But what he wants us to know today, thirst after righteousness, thirst after him, thirst after something that you will never have to thirst after again. Thirst after salvation. Thirst after you just being right with him. Thirst after his presence. I can't get that word. The word his presence it's just right here. It's just in my head. His presence. And I think it is because so much things are going on and he's just saying, just get in my presence. I'm going to show you everything. Just get in my presence. I'm going to make it plain to you. Just get in my presence. I've got everything worked out, but I need you to get where I need you to be. I don't need you distracted over here. I don't need you worried about what's going to go over there. I don't need you over here just your mind boggled down, because don't you realize that is from the enemy. Confusion is not a God. Get that out your mind right now. Confusion is not a God. God does not confuse us. God does not confuse us. That is the enemy. And it is a tool that he uses on the saints of God, because if he can mess your mind up, if he can mess your thinking up, he has got you. Because what? Now you start thinking in despair. Now you think, how am I going to pay this? How is this going to happen? What are we going to do? I don't know. What do you mean what you going to do? You're going to stand like you stood before. You're going to stand because he said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord pass you by. All you had to do is stand in the glory of him, and the glory will come down and sweep you up and take you up into his presence. Into his presence. And in his presence, there's life and life. Life, 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 life. There's life in his presence. There's love in his presence. There's peace in his presence. There's joy in his presence. Oh, my God. Can't no man. I love my husband. Y'all know I love my husband. Y'all's pastor, bishop. But he can't do me like Jesus. He can't do me like God. He cannot love me like God. He cannot hold me like God. And I have had his hands around me before. And let me tell you, it's the sweetest. It is the sweetest. Think when you have the Almighty just hold you, and when you're by yourself and he's just holding you, or even when you're with somebody and he's still just holding you, because he said, I hold on to what holds on to me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord. Hold on to him. Thirst after righteousness. Thirst after his love. Thirst after what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be in life. Don't just thirst after, the quick fix. No, there is no quick fix to this thing. There is a walk and there is a way and there is the truth and there is the light of him. You got to get in there with him. You got to put some work in because faith without works is dead. So you got to do something. You got to do something. God is wanting us to get in his presence. Wanting us to get in his presence. He gave me this morning, all this week is talking about love, 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 God, love. And then the other day, me and my husband was talking. We just started talking about thirsting after God, just thirsting after God. And then it sent me to another way. I was like, okay. So you want us to thirst after your righteousness. You want us to thirst after your love, and you want us to thirst after your presence. Because if we have those three things, take it to the bank. He's got you. You don't have to worry. My time is about up. Have anybody have anything to say? You're more than welcome. Say anything. No problem. If not, I'm going to pray out. Pray.